Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR positive HER2 negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When I write y'all, all across the USC, Compton, Watts, Bay to LA, Pomona, California, from valley to valley, we represent that killer Cali. So if you keeping it real on your side of your town, you tune in to Gangsta Chronicles.
Gangsta Chronicles, we gon' tell you how it goes.
If I lie, my nose will grow like Pinocchio. We gon' tell you the truth and nothing but the truth.
Gangsta Chronicles, this is not your average show.
You're now tuned into the real MCA, Big James, and Big Stale.
This is strictly from the streets.
Hello.
We represent the James.
Welcome to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast, a production of iHeartRadio and Black Effect Podcast Network. Make sure you download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles. For my Apple users, hit the purple mic on your front screen, subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles, and leave a 5-star rating and comment.
What's happening? And welcome to another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast, and I'm with my homeboy.
Yeah.
Today, you know, I think it's well established, man, that we older gentlemen, we OGs, with the youngsters like to call OGs, right?
Right.
But I like to think that we come from the dopest time period of our heyday, the 90s, the late 80s and the early 90s. Don't you think them was probably the dopest times in hip-hop?
Them was some good years, man.
Some good years.
You know, we had some real, you know, we had some, the introduction of the street shit and, you know, and hip-hop was kind of universal, you know. You know, we appreciated all type of motherfuckers, you right. know what I'm saying? You can bang you some West Coast shit, but then you still can bang you some motherfucking EPMD or some LL Cool J, Big Daddy Kane, right. You feel me? It was a good era.
And the biggest thing is everybody was original. It wasn't no more MC8s. It wasn't no more Big Daddy Kanes. You know, you didn't have, you know, right now, you can't tell people apart. They sound just alike.
Well, the art of storytelling
exactly.
seems to be, you know,
diminished.
Forgotten. We had tales from the hood, so to speak. We had a lot of, you know, even to not be on some street shit. East Coast homies told tales too. You get me?
Well, that's how you learn about everybody's community across the country.
Whether it was. You know, LL telling stories about, you know, I need love or...
And Hollis Queens.
And you know, Run DMC telling stories about, you know, they Adidas and shit like that. Mm-hmm. Concepts and stories right. and shit is what kept the ear intrigued. And that's what made it a good era, you know, because everybody... we had the shit called, you know, niggas was biting. Nobody wanted to bite each other.
Yeah, right. That was like a cardinal sin back then.
You got a billion niggas saying Gia right now. You feel me?
Yeah, for sure. I told y'all, man, 8 need his publishing.
Niggas, you know, we had, like I said, we had, the niggas made records of don't bite my shit. You get me?
Yeah, for real. And I don't want nobody to say that we out here because it is some dope youngsters out here.
Oh, definitely. You know,
some dope youngsters out here, some dope kids out here doing their thing.
You know, in this era of what is called hip hop, you got a few storytellers out there, a few, you know, a few niggas who done been through some situations, who ready to tell their stories and, you know, make good music. Like I said, any motherfucker can make a song or a rap.
Right.
Can you put together music in a sense of where it's considered, you know, you just not making a gang of run-on sentences together and shit. You telling a story, taking a nigga to the progress as far as the song is concerned. You know, so I don't think that's a thought today.
Yeah, everybody.
I'm just going to go in there and just bust, nigga. Right.
Yeah, everybody niggas going for it.
Motherfucker. And I guess that's what they call freestyling. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a freestyle.
They go in there and I'm not do gonna,
their thing. I'm not going to speak on no particular right. subject or tell no story. I'm just going to rap, nigga. 1+1 is fun and fun in the sun. And nigga, the eggs is done.
Yeah.
That's exactly how they're doing it right now. That's crazy.
That's how they're doing it. But you know what, man? We had a lot of dope people, man, that took us through journeys of their perspective neighborhoods, man. The guy we got on stage with us tonight, now, you did put out a rap album. So I can say you put out a rap album.
Yeah, some bullshit. I tried it.
But you told your stories, man.
Tyra said, I tried this shit.
You know, you gave everybody a glimpse of what L.A. was like.
Right. So the thing about the album is that I did a video with Scarface called the Mary Jane video.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, damn, all the rappers trying to be actors. I said, fuck it, let me try this shit.
Plus, you got to check out that motherfucker too. Yeah. So shit, you know what
I
mean?
Yeah, I did. But I also love music, and I sing a little bit. So I always love music. So my boy Seven, Aurelius, you know, we went out to rap a lot, and we signed a production deal together.
Well, that's dope.
So that's what really, that's how I really.
So you did that with Seven, and Seven wound up, that's how Old Girl from Murder, Inc., when she redid the Mary, 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 and Lil Jay went down there and got that check from them boys. Right, he said, y'all using my stuff.
So what happened was, like, me and Seven used to, when Seven first started, Seven was a talented producer, but he wasn't into flipping lyrics, and he didn't know how to, I know all music. So I'm like, Seven, you kind of like gospel, you know, you play the chords great. Mm. But I said, think about flipping and like using different melodies and, you can't hear me?
Yeah, you got it, you good.
Okay, flipping the melodies or whatever. So then, I taught him how to, you know what I'm saying? I taught him how to do that. Mm-hmm. But he was always a talented producer and could play. But we kind of matched, you know, matched. He was the first person to tell me that I was producing though. Mm. Because I would hear a melody or I would do this. He'd be like, you know that's producing. And the other homies wouldn't tell me that. They would just
tell me. Hell no, they ain't going to tell you. They just got to get
their money. Definitely.
They out there getting their money, man. Shout out to the homeboy EP. Me and him was just talking. When you hear stuff like Twister's, what's Twister's big record he had? Not Overnight Celebrity, but the other one. Slow Jams.
Mm-hmm.
My boy EP played every chord that was on that motherfucker, dog. Every chord that was on that motherfucker.
Wow.
And, you know, everybody don't get that credit. You know, they get a keyboard credit.
I used to make sure Guy used to play for me, Willie Z. I used to shout him out on records and shit because he was talented. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I didn't want to take credit for motherfuckers playing and niggas being gifted with that shit, you get me? So I definitely would recognize the musicians who play.
For sure, you have to. You have to, man, for sure, man. So Tyron.
What's up?
What I was saying was, man, back in the 90s, man, Menace to Society, I would say, is one of the, if they had a time capsule, mm-hmm. for motherfuckers like 1,000 years from now to glimpse how certain time periods was, that would be a movie that I would put in that time capsule to say this is how stuff really was kind of in the neighborhood. Not everywhere, but in the neighborhood. And it told a story of not just South Central L.A., but that's Compton, that's Long Beach, that's Newark, New Jersey, that's Brooklyn. You feel what I'm saying? It, you know, the characters change a little bit and the dress code change a little bit. But it's the same stuff going on.
Right.
When y'all did that movie, this is for you too, when y'all did that movie, man, 30-something years ago now, did y'all think it would have the impact that it has today?
Tyron could probably, you know, address that better because he was, you know, an actor and getting into that shit. Me, I was just on some, hey, you know, I didn't even think they was going to call a nigga to be in the movie. To think about, you know, down the road and history and future, and I just saw it as, you know, it was a gang of movies being made at that time,
right.
that focused on the neighborhoods and poverty and the gang violence and the police brutality and all of that shit. So, I don't know if I saw it going as far, you get me? Because, you know, with rap and shit, or hip-hop, whatever, we was always kept to a certain, you know, we was always looked upon as, you know, the outside, the black sheep. And especially if you did the music I was doing, you know, you got a double funny look, you know what I'm saying? They already didn't like the fact of the hip-hop, but then if you did what we was doing, you know, talking about the oppression in the streets and the gang violence and all of that, they really didn't like a motherfucker. So I don't know if I saw it getting as big as it could be because of the nature of what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Now to us, it was going to be the shit. You get me? But it's like that crossover shit. You know, you put out a record and you aiming for it to be great in your sector. But then next thing you know, that motherfucker playing all over in Europe and you walk through the fucking casinos in Vegas and they got it in the elevators and you reach that crossover status. So I don't know if I thought it would reach that crossover status
It definitely crossed over. And Tyron, if I'm not mistaken, that was your first major. That was your first leading role.
Yeah, that was my first major leading role. So, what should we start? Did I think it was going to be successful?
Or did you even, let's go back to you auditioning for the motherfucker.
Okay, let's
go
there.
You know what I mean?
So, me auditioning. So, I'm at the house. I just finished auditioning for Boys in Hood like 2 weeks before it ended.
Mm-hmm.
John Singleton, like, oh, you perfect for the part. So I'm thinking, this is when I first learned about Hollywood. I'm like, John Singleton said, I'm perfect. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm finna be in Boys in the Hood. I'm excited. And then when I didn't get the part, I'm at the house with my girlfriend at the time in high school, you know what I'm saying, rubbing on her. And
are you in high school at this time?
I was in high school a year removed from high school. My girlfriend was still in high school. So she was in 11th, 12th grade. I just graduated.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm at the house and all I hear, how to survive in South Central. And I'm like, I see it on the jukebox. Remember we had jukebox back in the day and all that stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute. I said, that's the movie. I'm hearing the lines on the TV. And I'm like, I just auditioned for that. Mm-hmm. So, I said, it's just going to be crazy. I could just tell the energy of it, that the movie was going to be huge. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of like, damn, that was my shot. Mm-hmm. And then next thing I know, like a month or two later, like I got the call for Menace. My homeboy, rest in peace, Tommy Gunn, and my homeboy Tylo, we drove to the audition with no brakes, with a red, it was like a Seville or something. They had no brakes. We had like $5 worth of gas. We trying to get to Hollywood. Mm-hmm. I didn't comb my hair. I didn't do nothing. I was like, man, it ain't nothing. It's just some random.
That's when you wind up getting some shit, though. Most of the time, the shit you think ain't going to be nothing, that's when it pop off.
So I get there, and Alan Hughes is like, man, we've been looking for you for years. I said, huh? Mm-hmm. I'm like confused. Like, what did they see? Where they want me? So they seen the Rhythm Nation with Janet Jackson. They seen me do Michael Jordan Playground. They seen, and I did this America's Most Wanted where I played the blood. Sorry, 8. Mm-hmm. I played the blood. Mm-hmm. And so then they was just like, they seen all those different kind of characters. And mm-hmm. It's like, okay, well, we seen him in Janet Jackson, Rhythm Nation, so we know he has emotion and it was in facial expression that we like. So then when I did the play, when I played the blood, they seen I knew how to, what's happening? Give it. They knew I knew how to do all that. Mm-hmm. So they to them, they said, he's the guy, he's young, because they didn't want to say Crip or Blood in the movie. We needed somebody that would just like have the street.
Right.
Straight from, that's from true, here. Because you never knew. They never really identified who
we
was
didn't. Clips. We didn't try to, that was one of their points. I mean, because we had just had we had Colors,
right,
who you know was heavy influenced on Crip and Blood, and I'm pretty sure that brought a lot of tension to people for exploiting that. So wanting to do these neighborhood movies, I guess dudes tried to stray away from actually saying,
because
you saw it in Boys in the Hood, right, too. Mm-hmm. You knew Cube and them was from, the Crip side, because then they had the enemies in red. You right. Mm-hmm. But nobody actually said Blood or Crip in the movie. So
never. You never heard that. No,
that's what
no
we
blood.
Tried to, I guess that's what they tried to focus on with Menace. You get me?
Right.
And then it wasn't really on, and they probably threw a little bit in there, you get me? Putting me in the movie, the dudes who shot, Tyron and them, they was in Burgundy at the hamburger stand. But I get not wanting to, because we had enough problems with Crippin' and Blood, you know what I'm saying? And just trying to survive in LA and Compton. And then I'm pretty sure, just like the thought of doing records, I never wanted to just, I'm a Crip.
Right.
Because I wanted blood niggas to buy my records too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was always just pushing the issue of the city and the neighborhood. It don't matter what neighborhood you from, whether you wearing red or blue or purple or whatever, it's still problems going on that we all going through, right, because we growing up here. Right. So I guess that was one of the points of not trying to focus, too heavy on the Crippin' and Blood and shit.
Aspect. So you go up there, and how soon did they let you know you had the part? Because I know when I was going on auditions, sometimes you may have to go. I've been on as many as 5 auditions for the same part.
They basically told me there. They was just like, when they said, we're looking for you and the energy, and it wasn't like a reading or anything like that.
Well, it wasn't. So they pretty much probably, when he wrote that part, he probably had you in mind.
He had me in mind. And next thing I know, like a week or later, I'm at Roscoe's with my uncle. And they we want you to play Kane, the lead character in Menace to Society. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm like, Jesus Christ, okay. I'm trying to be.
You know, this gonna be big.
I've been here before in my mind. I'm like, calm down or whatever. So, to your point, when I got the film, I did not know it was gonna be huge like that. I believed in me, and I was like, it's gonna be I'm gonna give my all to it. But mm-hmm. I had no idea that it was gonna be like that until I went to the screening.
It's a certified classic.
When I went to the screening of it, when they first screened it for the audience, mm-hmm. and I was in the screening, and they were cheering, and they were crying, and they were laughing, and all those three elements let me know that we had a hit. They did mm-hmm. all three of them.
Was you at the premiere 8?
Yeah, I think I was.
I don't know if you went. I went to the screening right before.
Oh yeah, because the screening is different than the premiere.
Yeah, it was right before all the real. It was like when they have the audience from. You know how they have an audience.
Yeah, they bring that audience.
Yeah,
in.
Come see it, and they laughed, they cried, they start clapping, they were cheering, they did everything. I said, oh shit! I said, I knew, mm-hmm. I knew. And then the way it was filmed, it wasn't a typical street. It was the way it was. They focused on the light being red and then green, and then it like took you on a roller coaster of how to be in South Central LA trying to survive it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was like it was directed. It wasn't just a bunch of niggas talking about, nigga, break yourself. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like that. Yeah. Like we actually cared. It's like mm-hmm. even when we're in the car, eight like, hey man, you niggas acting like bitches. Like nigga, you know what I mean? Like we were friends. It wasn't just like some niggas, let's just go do this shit. And we had each other back.
Yeah, you could tell that y'all had a camaraderie and a thing. Yeah. Like, Eight played the big homie perfectly. Yeah. You know, he played the big homie perfectly because he was telling everybody had a certain reverence and respect for him when he say, y'all niggas shut the fuck up. Y'all sound like some bitches. Yeah. And then he'd say something funny.
Yeah. And then when he had to, when we came short, he finished it off. Like, when dude was running, hey, man, y'all need, you need some help, man. Like, we don't need no evidence. We don't need nobody almost alive. Dump, we out.
You know what I was going to say?
Exactly.
Like the big homie, like, nah, we don't need nobody to live, nigga.
And my homie Fonby go appreciate this. When I hustle, we hustled in front of a hamburger stand that was on Anaheim, just like that, across the street from it, on Ohio and Anaheim, in Long Beach, right? And when I tell you without going into too much detail, when shit go down, it go down just that quick.
Oh, definitely.
So it was a very realistic scene. That right there, it was very realistic because that's how it happened. You either somewhere chilling or somebody else just somewhere chilling and they don't have no idea on what's about to happen. And vengeance go down that quick in the streets.
And I don't
Definitely. Situations arise pretty quickly.
Right.
You don't get too much time to think about it when it get ready to go right. down. You just react.
Right.
And hopefully you've been out there enough that your reaction time is good when you know some shit's getting ready to go down. Because if that's not, usually that's how you get caught slipping and niggas end up dead.
Yeah, and there was a whole bunch of stuff in the movie, man. Just the whole thing.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
It took 11 years to get to this sale. The Knix Anniversary Sale is on now at knix.com. Celebrate the intimate apparel company that has reinvented products for real life with one of Knix's biggest sales of the year. Get 30% off all leak-proof apparel from the number one leak-proof brand in North America, including period underwear, swimwear, activewear, and more. Millions of people have made the switch to Knix leak-proof underwear, and there's never been a better time for you to try. Save 30% on super comfortable, machine-washable, and great-looking underwear that's perfect for periods and light bladder leaks. Choose from a variety of colors, styles, and sizes, from extra small to 4XL. You can even match your leak-proof underwear with an incredibly supportive and comfortable Knix wireless bra. Don't miss this chance to stock up on your Knix favorites or try something new. It only happens once a year at Knix.com. That's KNIX.com for the Knix Anniversary Sale. Hurry, the sale ends on Monday, May 13th. Go to Knix.com. That's KNIX.com.
When you guys, when you initially read that script, right, you didn't have a clue that it was gonna be that significant.
Nah, it read more street, but when you look at it, it was really educational. Like
it was very educational. I would say that.
Like to me, like it showed you like most niggas be living with their grandmamas and like that. That's really real. Like nigga, grandmamas really be raising niggas in a lot.
It was very realistic. That's what I say. It was very realistic.
Yeah, they hit on a lot of, I think, in-depth shit about life growing up in the projects and stuck in limbo in trying to be accepted by the hood and, you know, having them motherfucking grandma, grandpa values to... where you want to do good, you know, you want to be a straight kid or, you know, a straight motherfucker, but when you living in a section where peer pressure is everything and belonging is everything, and especially as a, you know, a single kid, you get me? Yeah. You got no brothers, no sisters, no cousins. And, you know, so influence to become affiliated is heavy.
And that was the thing about that film, man. It shows you everything. Because what I got from it, you know, you would think watching it that people just get a lot of street stuff from it. You know, the whole gangbanging element and all that. I think what people more than anything else got from it, man, is that poverty is a motherfucker, dog. And when you black and growing up without much, dog, Because I think the most powerful part in the film was when your grandfather asked you, Kane, do you give a fuck if you live or die?
Right.
And you really looked at him like, shit, I don't know. I'm trying to get through the day.
Right. You got to understand, growing up in a neighborhood, like, what is it really for you to do, actually, if you're not entertainment or rap? Like, what is it actually to do? It ain't nothing to do but to get in some kind of trouble because you're trying to get your money.
Mm-hmm. Think about this. Think about if this man right here at the end of the table didn't have storytelling and rapping ability, or if you didn't know how to act, what would y'all be doing now?
You're fortunate to be put in a position like, you know, I was able to write down tales and stories and shit I saw or participated in. But before then, shit, like I said, the quest was to be from the neighborhood. You be a kid and you might, oh yeah, I'm gonna be a fireman or I'm gonna be a policeman or a football or sports motherfucker, you know? But then when you living in poverty, once again, and shit, everybody in the neighborhood is selling dope and gangbanging. Mm-hmm. And like, menace try to walk that line, right? Because you in the neighborhood and you a kid. As a kid, you don't really know what's going on around you, the world. You're a kid.
Yeah.
You know, you riding your bike down the street where two niggas just got killed last night. You don't focus on that as a kid.
Yeah, for real. And it humanized the characters.
Right.
Because even Old Dog, as fucked up as Old Dog was, you still saw that at the end of the day, he was just a little kid from the hood that was trying to survive and
he
had to do.
This is what I'm handed. Mm-hmm. You get me? I'm not educated. You get me? That shit stopped.
And he probably had some mental problems too.
That shit probably stopped when I was, you know, like I said, when you 4 and 5 and you going to school and everything is fun until you face with dealing with the reality of, nigga, we in poverty like a motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts affecting you and fucking with you to where
yeah.
your dreams of being something other than what's around you, that shit is gone.
Yeah, all like, hope is diminished and dissolved.
It's like, so to be able to, you know, do what you do or whatever and to just make it out of the situation isn't promised for a lot of niggas. And that's why you got a lot of niggas from the era of my days who, you know, got 30, 25 years to life in the pen and, you know, or just now coming home and, you know, all this new wave of technology and internet and all this shit. But that's why a lot of us was faced with that because we didn't have no choice back then. You get me? It's a lot of choices today for you to stray away from growing up in the neighborhood. Back then, shit, it was, we didn't have too many sports teams and niggas didn't have private trainers and camps and all that shit, you know, and all I knew about in the neighborhood was the niggas who was slanging.
Yeah, that's
and who got bust on, last right. night or yeah. whatever. I mean, so it's kind of hard to stray away from that.
For real. And you was raised like, I guess you was made for that part because you was raised by your grandmother too, right?
Yeah, I was, my mom had me when she was like 13, 14
mm-hmm.
in the neighborhood, whatever. So my mom was there. She just was a kid as well. So we were like kids together kind of thing. My grandmother mm-hmm. and I had my aunties. Mm-hmm. So I just, you know, I seen a lot, you know what I mean? I understood that I didn't want to be in gangs because my uncle played football. He never drank, he never smoked, and I just always remember that. Like, he wanted to be something. So I was like, mm-hmm. I gotta figure this out.
Yeah, because you was playing football and stuff, too. You went to Sarah High School, right?
Yeah, went to Sarah.
Went to Sarah High School. Yeah. Well, I mean, you talked about that. You was a defensive back, man. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Tyron is a physical motherfucker. I know we, you know, we ain't gonna talk like the other people. But Tyron got some squabbles, man.
I wouldn't even say I just defend myself like any other human being. It ain't about who can. It's in when you if you protecting yourself. It's not about having squabbles. It's about like I don't mess with nobody. I don't want no issues. I know how to walk away from an issue. I know how to do all those things. It's just when I can't, I just gonna defend myself like any other human being, man.
And usually you go win when you don't start problems, you usually wind up being a victor.
Yeah, that's anybody. Anybody. If you're not starting, I feel like you should win if you didn't start you didn't start no trouble. You know what I mean?
So you get this role, man. Mm-hmm. How quick do your life change?
It's crazy because I grew up on 51st and Hoover, and where I come from, I just always like to just do normal stuff, like walk to the liquor store, do stuff that I was just accustomed to doing. Mm-hmm. I remember going to the liquor store, and it was just like the cars started piling up on the block or whatever. And I was like, okay, this is a little different, but I'm still a little naive because I'm just like, that's all I know is just I didn't come from Hollywood. I didn't come from where nobody in my family was in Hollywood, so I didn't know. Like, I can't walk down the street no more. I can't go to the liquor store, do regular stuff, like go to the actual liquor store. I was like, shit, I'm finna go to the liquor store and buy me some motherfucking policies or something. You feel me? Just like regular shit. Mm-hmm.
And the motherfuckers pulling up on the side of the road on you.
Pulling up on the side of the road, honking. But it wasn't just all kind of stuff. Nothing dangerous, but just crowded. Just like, okay, it's a scene here. Like, the movie was big to where now I've made a scene in the neighborhood if I'm there. That's all.
Mm-hmm. When did you realize you had to get about that motherfucker?
Well, I never got out of it. I just knew that I had to, it's just the way.
Yeah, not like that, but you know you have to, if you want to have a peace of mind, you got to make a move.
Yeah, you just understand there's a time and a place, like certain times, like you dip in, dip out. It ain't about just, oh, I can't be over here. That's not what it is. It's just about picking and choosing how to do it. Like I just can't go to the liquor bank just because I think it's cool to just do. It's just different because people will test you. Mm-hmm. People will test you. People will.
How often did you get tested? You, especially you playing a role that you was playing. You was a hard body in the movie.
I got tested a lot let me just say, a lot of people loved us, first of all. Like the movie, like, so as much as I got tested, it was millions of people that didn't test. They loved, they was a fan of our work and all that kind of stuff. So when I did get tested, it was basically more about, man, this nigga look little in person.
I mean, you, and then it's usually always from your own stepping ground.
Yeah.
You know, you get appreciated when you go other places. Not that right. You are intimidating to people, but just for the fact that people respect what you do as far as making records or acting or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, it's something about growing up here and growing up in a neighborhood that... It's gonna ride you until niggas feel like you ain't a threat anymore to them. Then it's like, oh man, that nigga, you know, whatever. Oh, that's Tyron, oh, you know, whatever.
Right. But
like you said, a motherfucker wanna test you because first of all, you come from the land of where, you know, niggas is about that life of pulling a nigga's card.
Yeah.
You get me?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's always going to be one. You feel me? Like, shit. Oh, nigga, this nigga was hard in the movie, or this nigga grew up on so-and-so and whoop-de-whoop. And right. I remember I went to school with this nigga and whoop, and that's where you get that.
That's crazy, man. So.
So you didn't have to do because you came from Cleveland. So yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You know what, though, man? The biggest thing I get now is, why you don't call? I called you 20 times. Why you not picking up the phone? And it's like, dude, you called me at 2 o'clock in the morning or some crazy time or 5 o'clock in the morning. No, I'm not answering my phone. But for the most part, it's more love. But the stuff, I'm not going to front. You always have certain people that know how to strike a nerve with you.
Oh, definitely.
They just know how to strike a nerve. You like, why is you coming at me with that silly shit right now? You know what I mean? But for the most part, it's love, like you said. So you doing this, man, that was one of those defining roles, man, to where usually in Hollywood, somebody get that type of part, you know, have that type of performance, they turn in that type of performance, they wind up just elevating.
Of course. Yeah, when they're white.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was going to touch on. Do you feel that us as black people, man, do you think Hollywood just kind of give us the short end of the stick all the time?
I would say we give ourselves the short end sometime. You know,
elaborate,
I mean,
a little bit.
Well, we did a great film, right? Me, A, Lorenz, and Jay. We did a great film, right? Mm-hmm. Alan Hughes and Albert Hughes, they directed it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The phone never rung again for none of that chemistry.
Yeah, because you think
all
about
this chemistry, but look at it like this. When you look at Ryan Coogler, that did Fruitvale with Michael B. Jordan, right?
Mm-hmm.
He did. Then he did Creed. Then he directed Creed. Then he let Michael B. Jordan direct Creed, and then he did Black Panther. You know what I'm saying? When you think of John Singleton, Tyrese, Baby Boy, Fast and Furious. The one he did with Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg about the brothers?
Yeah, brothers. Mm-hmm. That's all John Singleton, right? So even with Spike Lee, I think that with us, and nobody owes anybody nothing. Nobody. But what this man did for Menace with that song that I think described that movie better than any movie I've ever seen in my life. It was just hand in hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't come back, and not that they owe anything, but like as a filmmakers, you know, you don't come back like, oh, let's run it back. Jordan mm-hmm. ran it back with Pitt. Sometimes you can. It's okay to run things back.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But to not run it back, and to kind of like, sometimes people want to cross over, and they think that the crossing over means, oh, I'm gonna go do Benjamin, but whatever, like a white film. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna
do some Tom Cruise. Yeah. I'm gonna shoot Mission Impossible right. next, or mm-hmm. you know. And I get it. their director shit, you know, following Menace, mm-hmm. Took a different route.
Mm-hmm.
You get me? It was doing horror films and all kind of shit, and it probably was a lot of requests from the streets and to follow up with something in that line. But like you said, once they felt like, shit, we done left the block, nigga, now we done moved up to Hollywood yeah. Hills.
We not staying on
51st right. no more.
Right.
Nigga, now we staying in motherfucking behind the gates down the street from motherfucking, you know, so now I say the same thing about niggas' records sometimes.
Right.
You know, they come in hungry. You hear it. You hear the songs.
Yeah.
Depression, poverty. Mm. Nigga, if I make it, you know, I'm a whatever, whatever. And then motherfuckers go, damn, yeah, blow up. Sell 3-4 million records. Next thing you know, nigga, I'm on my fucking $5 million yacht, nigga, right. and we drinking fucking champagne out of bitches' ass cracks and mm-hmm. shit. And like, what happened to that? You know, like sometimes you gotta not forget about what got you.
Right.
And it's hard to keep it, man, because I'm gonna tell you, it's hard to keep it because it's a certain amount of pressure and stress that come with any amount of success.
Oh, definitely.
Because you always. And then it's one of them things, let me ask you this, I'm pretty sure you went with this. People always think you got more than what you actually have.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pitbull, Sarah McLachlan.
Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
It took 11 years to get to this sale. The Knicks anniversary sale is on now at knix.com. Celebrate the intimate apparel company that has reinvented products for real life with one of Knicks' biggest sales of the year. Get 30% off all leak-proof apparel from the number one leak-proof brand in North America, including period underwear, swimwear, activewear, and more. Millions of people have made the switch to Knicks leak-proof underwear, and there's never been a better time for you to try. Save 30% on super comfortable, machine washable, and great-looking underwear that's perfect for periods and light bladder leaks. Choose from a variety of colors, styles, and sizes, from extra small to 4XL. You can even match your leak-proof underwear with an incredibly supportive and comfortable Knicks wireless bra. Don't miss this chance to stock up on your Knicks favorites or try something new. It only happens once a year at Knicks.com. That's KNIX.com for the Knicks anniversary sale. Hurry, the sale ends on Monday, May 13th. Go to Knicks.com. That's KNIX.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
How did you deal with telling certain family members no or certain homies no?
I didn't. I always gave what I had. It didn't, like, if I had $100, I'd give a nigga.
See, I'm not talking about no money like that, because I think everybody do that. You know, you see the homie needs something, you look out for him.
So let me say something, Norm. So getting back to what A said, look at Martin Scorsese. I think he did edgy films as well. Martin, would you say? He did edgy films. But you guess what he did? You know what he understood about it? He's like, yeah, shit, I'm going with De Niro. I'm going to run it back with Pesci. I'm going to run it back. Because he understood that chemistry and that dynamic. When you can't teach chemistry. And when you have that kind of chemistry, you just don't let... When Dre and Snoop did the Chronic out, they knew that they had chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, you know what? We're going to have to... That's what this is. We're gonna
make this a franchise.
We're gonna run this back, kind of. So, I just feel like people just anxious to cross over. It's kind of like that's like eight doing what he did, and then all of a sudden he doing a country album or something like that. He just
I was too afraid to lose my core fans. You get presented with chances to go over, you know, and do something different. Maybe it would have been beneficial more than what my career has been. Maybe not. I just never wanted to stray away from what got me there.
I'll tell you this right now. I love Timberland, but I don't want to hear you on no Timberland beats.
Exactly. You know, I never wanted, and then when I got faced with shit like that, I just took the low road and said, fuck it, I'm good. I just didn't want to, I guess, disappoint the motherfuckers who walked through the struggle with me through those records. And then I turn around and go, okay, thank you. Thanks. Fuck y'all. I'm finna go grab this motherfucking money bag and I'm finna rap about, you know, partying in Saint-Tropez with, you know, butt-naked bitches and we partying and drinking and throwing money all out there. I didn't want my core fans to be like, what the fuck? Like, dude, you know, so some people take that route because the money is more, you know, I want to be that image. So now I'm going to go from wearing khakis and driving in a 6'4 to I'm pulling up in a Bugatti, nigga, with fur on my boots and shit and my pants pockets and shit. And, yeah. You know, I got on a see-through tank top and shit like that and a big fur hat right. Because that's what they call fashion now. So, you know. Yeah. Some people tend to, you know, go astray,
right.
You know.
So evidently, it's a certain formula. You feel like they were too concerned with crossing over and doing other things. Is this nothing wrong with wanting to scale?
Listen, I think they don't owe nobody nothing. You can do what you want to do. It's their life. But what I'm saying is, a lot of times people say, I don't owe or help. Well, what is it for? Mm-hmm. I don't help. You know, if 8 got a podcast or no one got a podcast and I rock with y'all, like, what's wrong with me? What's helping is okay. Like, I think we're messed up what we thinking. I don't owe nobody. Or it's not that you owe nobody nothing like that, but it's you kind of.
Well, you know what? I will say this, and I agree with you. I feel like this, man. If I have the means of helping somebody that I call my homeboy, homegirl, family member, relative, if I have a means of helping them out and they understand that they will have to dedicate a certain amount of time and work to it, I'm all in. Just don't expect me to do everything, but I'm definitely going to help you. I feel like I'm obligated
right.
In a way.
So look at it like this. Say we somewhere and we see somebody finna jump the Hughes Brothers, right? Mm. Is it our obligation to help them motherfuckers? No, but if we I feel like, man, nah, that's the right thing to do. Shit. Like, mm-hmm. Nigga, if I see A somewhere and it ain't looking good, I feel like it's the right thing to do. No, hold on, homie, nigga. We both finna get beat up or whatever that is. I feel like it's the right thing to do. It don't have to be, you don't all, you there's nothing wrong with being that kind of person to help. And I think people get caught up in like, you know, in their own business where Alan, Albert, you know, it wouldn't have hurt to help. It mm-hmm. wouldn't have. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. And then you, when you go do the white films, there's so many white directors that you don't even know who they are. That's why when you do a Menace or a Boys in the Hood, you get noticed. Like John Singleton, we know you did that. It's noticeable of your how good your work is because it's for the culture. But when you do what all the, if Alan go do Jurassic Park right now, nobody's gonna care because we've seen 7 of them already.
Mm. Yeah, for real.
We already seen them. Mm. F. Gary Gray did Fast and Furious. John Singleton did Fast and Furious. We know John Singleton for Boys in the Hood because it stood out because he told a story about what everybody in our culture can relate to.
Yeah, and you see what his that's why I think Snowfall resonated with so many people,
yeah.
Which was his last work. It was kind of a return back to the roots.
And that's why it hit.
We going back to the neighborhood, you know? And it was a success.
That's always an intriguing story for people.
Yeah.
True situations that they get to probably glance across or heard about or whatever. Mm-hmm. And truthfulness in situations always intrigue people.
Right. I just think white America, man, is still captivated to this day about our lifestyle, especially people in middle America that don't, you know, you figure somebody in, I can't say Omaha, Nebraska is kind of hood. They got their spots down there. But somewhere like Bismarck, North Dakota, where they don't see a lot of black people, those type of spots are enclaves, man, that have a tendency just to kind of live in their own world.
Right.
I think people are always like intrigued with what we got going on in the community.
Right.
So you work pretty consistently. I would say that because you always got something going on. It's a lot of movies. I'll be sitting there watching TV at night sometimes. I'm like, that's Tyrone. I didn't even know Tyrone was in this shit.
Mm-hmm.
So you stay working,
so
man.
So this is the thing. When you do something classic, it's going to always, it's like doing a classic album. You know, you're going to always, it's hard to top those. You know what I'm saying?
No matter
how dope you are, I know you can do a big, like, it's just hard to top those things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All the stuff Ada has done, I'm straight up minute. Everybody always requests one of, that's one of the top requests because, whoever, God wrote that with him. Mm-hmm. that movie song right there is like, you know, when Ice Cube did How to Survive South Central,
mm-hmm.
That was dope. But this motherfucker right here, mm-hmm. yeah. it's like,
well, we also had a song on the Boys in the Hood soundtrack,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, for the one time.
We had Growing Up in the Hood.
That became a
number one single.
Yeah.
When they had on the Billboard rap charts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Being influenced. You feel me? And it's not too difficult because I'm living this shit. You get me? Mm-hmm. I'm seeing the poverty. I'm seeing the gangs. I'm running with a gang. Straps and crack sacks and hood rats in the neighborhood, and that was my life.
But,
you feel me? Shit.
But hey, to be able to tell those stories is genius and it's great. I'm not gonna let you undermine the fact that you grew up in. Yeah, you grew up in it, but to tell those stories and to get it across, to get it across, and for it to resonate like that, mm-hmm. It's a lot of niggas that can talk about getting shot, this or that. What,
right.
You have to be gifted to make somebody like, to articulate, like, I'm at the liquor store with the strap, the Japanese, all that kind, like, you have to, like, that shit is like, that is entailed. Those are, you know what I'm saying?
Those little minute details.
You have the minute details that niggas don't know how to explain in the hood. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because it was like you said, the details was because I wake up every day and I come over here.
Right.
And I'm standing over here with niggas and we selling crack together and, you know, niggas is dying and you know, we going to funerals and all that type of shit. I got a mom at home who don't understand. But, you know, because she's from a different time. Like I'm saying,
right.
We struggle with slave shit and racism and all that. And I don't understand with this gang shit. Like y'all driving around shooting at each other and wearing bandanas. Like my folks didn't understand it. And especially because I was the only motherfucker doing it. You feel me? Everybody else in my relatives, they were still down south, you get me? They were still in the Mississippis and the Texases and shit. Mm. And so, like, what the fuck is going on out in California?
Yeah,
hey, you and Pac were the only rappers to explain the relationship between the Japanese and the blacks. Like, you know what I mean? Y'all the only ones with him, with Natasha, what's the girl, Natasha Hart?
Mm-hmm.
The relationship, how we felt when we went in those stores in those Korean stores, the way we felt.
It was a stereotype we had.
And
it's crazy because it's crazy when you think about it to think like this, we grew up here. But a majority of the liquor stores were owned by Japanese people. And, you know, they had the swap meets, they had the liquor stores and all that. But, you know, that came from, and we over here struggling like a motherfucker. Motherfuckers needing food stamps and county checks and shit like that. And so, and for us to be, you get me, like, damn, we got it from the white people and shit back in the days, long time. And now to be both coming out, because y'all came out of some fucked up shit too.
Right.
Yeah,
and then to be in our neighborhood And now we getting the dirty looks, like, you feel me?
Well, from what I understand, all of that was set up systematically, kind of, right?
Definitely.
Because, like you said, they went through their own shit too, right? They went through a lot of shit. America did them dirty.
Exactly.
So what they did was they would give them loans, but they would only let them come to the black community because of the divide. You understand what I mean? It's almost like some divide and conquer type shit. You know what I mean?
Right. Like,
because they got them scared from the moment they come over. You think about it. You come to a country, right, where you probably haven't seen very many of these people over here, but everything you hear about them is fucked up and bad. So now you put them in the community. And the truth of the matter is, a lot of them people in them stores don't make a lot of money. You feel what I mean? They're paying overhead. And I knew when I worked in the liquor business, a lot of those people lived in their stores, man. What they would do, they would get a family come over. You would see a brother come over. He would get a liquor store, and he would live in the back of that store, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then once he built the store up, he's usually going to go buy another one, right, in the neighborhood. And then you will see his brother. You come there the next week. Who are you?
You talking about the Japanese people?
Yeah, Japanese and Korean people. That's all, because they ain't all Japanese.
But they used to give us, like, they used to give us credit. And all, like, I don't know about you, but they used to give you.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Market, they give you credit. Like, in my neighborhood, like, you can go up there.
Oh, yeah. I think that's nationwide.
Yeah, they make you, you can pay next week. So it seemed like they had front. They were front food.
Well, you know what? The thing is, because we in this weird, we in this weird situation kind of together. They trying to survive in the store, right? And they know the average person that got any type of success in that neighborhood, he knows I'm going to have to deal with MCA Aaron when he come in here. I'm going to have to deal with Tyron. I know them. And in many cases, they've known you for many years. You feel what I'm saying? So grandma, she taking care of the kids, right? She might be able to go down there and get a couple gallons of milk, some eggs, some pancakes, you know, some pancake mix, some cereal or whatever on credit until she get that one check that got to last through the whole month.
And see, when you in your neighborhood, in my neighborhood, we end up getting cool with the jazz. It's just when you go to another neighborhood, like when you outside in another.
See, Tyron, I got to correct you a little bit because you be saying them old white people racist words. You didn't mean to, dog, but everything's so sensitive now. The Japanese people, and some of them are Korean. Everybody ain't Japanese.
Okay, so, yeah, because I don't, excuse me, because I really don't know. So it's called, instead of Japanese, it's called Korean?
No, Korean is one nationality. You got people that are from Japan, that are indigenous to Japan.
So is Jap a prejudice?
Jap is definitely prejudice. Okay. That's definitely prejudice.
See, I wouldn't even knew that. I don't even know.
Well, no, man, everything is different. Now, that's why I'm telling you, I make it my business to be, you know, I'm a media now, so I make it my business, and I'm a, you know.
Thank you, man.
You got to clean that shit up, man.
Yeah, I let them know
that shit up.
You don't mean no harm, you know?
At all.
But Korean people are Korean people. They have their own proud, rich heritage. Japanese people are Japanese. You know, you got Cambodian people. You know, you got different nationalities.
Okay.
You got different nationalities. So, man, you going through this hell of a run, man. You working and everything. Back to you felt like the phone wasn't ringing like it should be because you were an excellent actor.
I felt like after minutes, they said, you know, they said, like, you're going to be a star. So I just took it literally.
Mm-hmm.
I took it for face value. Like, you know, if it was another actor, like a white actor or whatever, it would have been, could you imagine somebody having that kind of hit? So I just took it that way. But it wasn't that way.
You think you might have got typecast because you played that role so well. You think they just saw you as the black urban kid from the community?
You want to talk? Hey.
You was kind of like Kendrick
before
he was
Kendrick.
That's kind of
hard to say because look at all the, I mean, Lorenz got roles.
Right. Yeah, Lorenz.
And they went back to the well with Lorenz with Dead Presidents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's because
I just thought they about that. John Singer, they did. The Hughes brothers did do that, didn't they?
Yeah, they did Dead Presidents. And then he wasn't typecast as Old Dog.
Because he had the maniest character in the movie.
Yeah.
Right.
He got romance roles and Army Vietnam roles. And, you know, so. But then they come back and they offer you always the hood roles, the dope dealer on the corner roles,
you know?
And it's crazy because those roles were reversed in Menace because Tyron was the one trying to make the decision if I'm going to do what AWAX and Old Dog and them is doing or I'm going to do what Grandma and them and the girl is saying that I should before it starts.
That's why I say he was Kendrick before Kendrick existed. You know, the good kid, Mad City.
Right,
the
exactly.
The kid is just a, like, not really a gangster, but like not a gang member, but just a dude teetering right outside the edge. He do a little bit here and there, but he's kind
of
conflicted.
You grew up in the neighborhood, most of your friends are affiliated.
Right.
Now, you might have not been jumped in yet or claiming the hood, but you best believe you got about three or four or five niggas or homeboys that you went to elementary school with and whatever, whatever. Them niggas is full-fledged banging. And they still considered your friends.
Yeah, for real. And Tyron, you never got married, huh?
No.
Because the women was on your ass, dog, back then.
We all had women, man. That's part of it.
My nigga Tyron said, we all
had women. Man, Tyron trying to be modest.
No, I'm just saying.
My nigga said, we all had women, man.
You know. So let me explain. So let me tap into the typecast thing. Like, the typecast situation, right? I don't really care. Like, mm-hmm. I'm an actor. Like, if I had to play a game breaker a billion times, I'll play him a billion times, a different billion ways. I don't really. That's like saying, if Tupac or is he typecast because all he could do, all he do is tell stories about what's going on in his hood or. Mm-hmm. But that don't matter. I don't think if you look at Robert De Niro, it's about you getting a role and you doing it. Like even in Menace, I wasn't always. If you look at Menace, I was vulnerable. I cried.
Mm-hmm.
I showed it more. I showed my range. I wasn't just had a gun in my hand.
And let's not get it twisted. It ain't like you ain't working because you just had a you just did some stuff for Fox, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. I got my television show is on Fox right now. Executive producing on a TV show called Alert. You know, so that's behind the scenes. So no, it's not about me not working. We're just keeping it real right now. Like,
yeah, because you should be having more FaceTime on the camera. When I start hanging around eight, the first thing I asked him because I said, "Man, you was doing some hell of a." Then I found out later on he really wasn't acting. You know, but you should have had more roles. And then come, you know, eight should have had more roles. You should have been because I was expecting you to go to that like.
But that's,
that Leonardo DiCaprio level, damn near.
But that's life, man. Life is just real. Like it ain't.
Yeah, it's.
life is just real. Like, you know what I mean? So you just gotta. You can't. I'm healthy. We breathing. We still here. Like, you know, there's a lot of. I'm fortunate. Like even with Belly, I was supposed to be the lead character. You know, but it was meant for DMX because DMX wasn't gonna be here that long. And God wanted that for him. Like, that was his thing for him to have at that moment. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
that's deep.
You just have to understand, like, people like Michael Jackson, he died at 50. We still here, right? He probably would give anything just to have a Subway sandwich. So I'm just happy that me ate and we still here. Like, and long as we're here, we still got opportunities and we don't know why things happen the way they do. You just don't know.
I look at it like, and this is something like I tell my son because, and this is with any profession. It's that saying, you take the high road, I'll take the low road.
Right.
And somebody gonna be there before the next person, right? Never said you wasn't gonna get there. It just said it was going to take you longer because you're taking the low road.
Right.
You feel me? So I try to tell that to my son, and I even tell it to myself. It's motherfuckers who can come in today. Tomorrow, they're overnight success.
Mm-hmm.
You've been doing this shit for 15 years, and you be like, God damn. But then if you look up, you still on that same road. You get me?
Right.
Nothing. It's just been, you done had a boulder in your path, or motherfucking your tire was flat, or motherfucker, you had to get a new engine put in the car.
Right.
But if you look up,
yeah, you still on the same road.
You still on the same road.
Y'all on the same path.
It's not to the point to where it just ain't happening. You get me?
Right.
Oh, motherfucker, you might as well go junk this car or you're never going to make it. Right. Nobody told you. You get me?
Right.
Nigga,
right.
I'm still rolling.
Right.
You get me?
Right.
And it's not to where, like I said, you done hit too many motherfucking nigga. If you on that road still, you on that road. And as long as you still breathing and you still can work, you still going there.
Right.
You feel me?
Right.
You still going there. You might look up 15 years from now, you just now pulling into that motherfucker spot. Like, God damn, it took me long to get here.
Right.
But, so I tell, that's why I tell my son, don't just, you know, nigga, a nigga put out a record today and tomorrow he done sold 10 million copies.
Yeah,
it
but
might take you 10 years to sell 10 million copies. You
but
get me?
That dude might not be around in 2 or 3 years.
That's how it works sometimes. So
appreciate
the position and the opportunity if you got it still.
Yeah.
You get me?
Mm-hmm.
Ain't a motherfucker ain't buried you underground and you got a headstone, motherfucker. You still here.
Right.
So if you can compete. Nobody telling you can't. You know, motherfuckers be with the age shit sometime, or you this, or you, nigga, please.
Yeah.
I still can motherfucking act circles around a nigga or rap around a motherfucker if I needed to.
Right.
You get me? So that's what I always say.
And like Tyron said, man, it ain't like motherfuckers on their deathbed, dog. So
I
it's know. Like, it ain't
I
no telling.
I just told you, you're still in the car. You got a flat or two, but you got a spare in the trunk.
You still in the car.
Put the spare on, nigga, let's roll. Roll up some motherfucking weed, nigga, let's get back on the road, nigga.
Man, A was clowning earlier when you first came in, man. You've been making your round. Man, you starting to be, man, one of the most sought after cats, man, online for interviews, man.
I think people like my approach is kind of honest, you know.
Yeah.
It's not messy. I just tell the truth the way that I see it.
You say the truth. So let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
With woman, man, and you don't have to say who.
Okay.
Have you had one of them Hollywood moments, man, with one of them starlets, man? You was fantasizing about before you got on, and you had her in your bed, and you was like, damn, I'm about to knock this down. Have you ever had that moment?
I've had fantasies about women, you know.
Oh, I'm not talking about your fantasies, nigga. I'm talking about yourself.
This nigga always want to know some old woman, some sexual shit. He always want to know some sexual shit still.
Damn.
Nigga, you get off the... Get
Hey, man.
I first came on the show, he was, hey, man, you know, you did all that rapping and acting. You ain't never met one of them celebrities. You done took
this. Celebrity. You ain't never had no celebrity. I'm going to tell you, boy,
T. No, man, I don't.
You don't kiss and tell.
No, you can't kiss and tell, man. I'm not really into, like, celebrity female. I just like women. Like, I see a woman at a bus stop and bust a U.
You know what? That's more of a question. Do you find it easier having relationships with regular, like women outside the entertainment industry?
I just don't like. I've always felt like I would like to date a woman that I could show her something more. Like if I was to date somebody like a celebrity, like what can make her smile? She already done seen everything. But if you take somebody that ain't never seen nothing, you be like, oh, we're finna go to Hawaii or Santa Tropez. They be like, oh my god, it's something.
Yeah, people got to be able to appreciate, you know.
There's nothing I could do to make Beyonce or somebody of that caliber appreciate something. What can I get her? I bought you some Gucci flip-flops or something like
that. Like,
that's the
it's
thing,
like
man. If she ever got divorced from Jay, boy, the next nigga got a hard time.
It's like the saying, what can I get a motherfucker who already got everything?
Yeah.
You get me?
Yeah, that's real. So, okay, there we go. You like square women.
Yeah, I like square women. You know, I don't mind a woman not having some for herself. Like, I'm not a trick or nothing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Ain't that? You know, a woman can have a job and do something for a person. You know, I'm not tripping out, but I'll do the same thing. But I don't have to be with no star woman. Like, that don't make me feel comfortable. Like, oh, I'm with, you know, somebody of that caliber. Like. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, I hear about a new fight that you don't have all the time. I be watching your interviews, dog. I be laughing like a motherfucker. I saw some shit that says you beat up Casey and JoJo at the same time.
I've never.
Am I lying, Brian? I saw some shit
about you and Trey D wrestling or
Yeah. Me and Trey D, we was at Snoop House and we was you know, you go body, you slap box, you know, that's what
Definitely.
So at Snoop House, they, you know, you gotta do some things. So we all out there, you know, everybody slap boxing or whatever it is. It's all in fun. It's all ain't nobody. It ain't nothing real about it. And so then, me and Trey D, you know, we got down on some wrestle, you know, playing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it was
Yeah, you wrestled before though, didn't you?
Yeah, like
if you a dude there, because I wrestle. So if you a dude that actually wrestled, man, it's not fair wrestling a dude that ain't never wrestled before. You go get the advantage. You're gonna be able to take advantage of him a little bit.
It's all about balance and all that kind of stuff. But nah, Trey D is like, you know, Trey D is the homie. Like he real. He, you know, he ain't no ego. Like if you strong, he gonna tell you. Like he ain't tripping like that. He ain't like.
I wonder what's up with these people and them titles, man. Like. This internet is a motherfucker now.
Well, that's just because you just have to watch, you know, because like I say every time, the main thing is content, and it's not about truth or lie. Right. It's just about getting the story out there and let people decipher their own decisions.
No, dog, these motherfuckers is lying nowadays, dog. Motherfuckers will say anything.
But that's like I said, that's what people do to develop content. I got to get you to come to my site or my channel or my page.
Right.
So, I mean, like, there's not too many people who gonna go around like, oh, you lied, I'm gonna sue you. You know, that's for the upper, you know, motherfuckers who feel like they were, to a regular nigga, that nigga lying. And it's not gonna do anything. It's not gonna affect me because it's a lie. And most of the time, if you let the shit die out, it die out faster than it start. And when you keep adding fuel to the fucking fire, then, you know.
Yeah, you got to not address that shit. You got to leave it alone because motherfuckers are crazy nowadays.
You're going to take a campfire to a brush fire, nigga, if you just keep adding fuel to it. So most of the time, if you just let that motherfucker die out, it's going to die itself out.
Mm-hmm. Man, so what's next for Tyron Turner, man?
What's next? Basically, just I'm more on the creative side, man, trying to create my own stuff, like my own TV show, put myself in my own stuff. You know what I mean? I don't necessarily, I want to hustle in every aspect of it. If some offers come, I'll do that. If I have to meet and take meetings for movies or television, whatever, I would do it. I'm just hustling all the way around the board. But my main focus is just creating myself. You know?
Yeah, I know we got some things that we go start working on. Like I told you, just a few books that I've recently acquired the rights to, you know, to work with that, to put that situation together. Then we got a series I'm real excited about, man. That's going to be starring MC8.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm talking like real early about it, but I'm talking to some, I'm in like, you know how you get to that second stage when you talk about getting the funding for stuff and all that.
Yeah.
So I'm real excited about that because it's going to be able to put him in a different light, but in the same light that people are used to seeing him, but just another side of it. You feel what I mean? And I think that's gonna be dope, man. Because a lot of people don't know that you direct and everything too.
Yeah, I love that. Yep, I understand what I want. I see the vision, and that's one of the things I want to do. See, at first, when you get in the business, you're like, "Oh, I just want to be an actor." Then you learn this shit. You're like, "No, I'm a fucking filmmaker."
Definitely.
Yeah, you've been around enough.
Yeah,
where you know at least what it's supposed to look like, and you work with the best. Let me ask you this: we in a day and a time, man, where really. When I see actors and actresses online that have had, you know, a certain amount of notoriety and success talk about, oh, I'm not getting no parts, I'm like, you could go put your own movies out.
Right.
I wouldn't, if I had a certain level of infamy, if I was, you know, had a certain level of status and I was an actor or actress, I wouldn't be tripping on nobody not giving me, I'd be going to produce my own stuff. You can go directly to, you got sites like Tubi, Amazon Prime, Peacock. You have all these different opportunities and outlets. You can go do your own thing now.
Well, you got some. What?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay, well, it's kind of like this. Like, it's easier said than done. Like, some people are just used to the way things are. Like, I'm like, when people be telling me that stuff, I be like, I'm just used to the studio. I'm used to, like, you so familiar with it. Like, nobody want to just, like, I don't want to go straight to DVD or I don't want to go to Tubi. Like, we so used to just kind of, like, the system of how it's supposed to. supposed to go.
That regular machine.
Yeah, the regular machine.
A lot of stuff you have you just have to jump out there and try this shit. And then usually that's how shit becomes successful, when you take that chance. You know, if you if you don't want to take that chance, then you probably going to be sitting where you were sitting to begin with.
Right. Man, I got to give a lot of love to the homies in Detroit, Michigan. Sorry to cut you off. Dennis Reed, the Murder Pain cat out there. Detroit is not exactly Hollywood. They've created their thing. I was talking to one of the homies, shout out to the twins, man. But they was telling me that Detroit looked like it was in the 90s now, in the 80s. You know how cats is really out there getting to it, getting to their bag. Independent films have done so well in Detroit, it has managed to change neighborhoods. You got brothers out there rejuvenating the whole block. Now they buying up all the, you know, old houses on the block that used to be crack spots, and they rebuilding them and stuff like that. Man, it's real dope, and it's a lot of opportunity out there. It's a lot of money out there, dog. And I think when you got people such as yourself with your pedigree, I think you could do very well in that space, bro.
Yeah, I think so too. Like I'm definitely gonna take my crack at it, you know what I mean? It's like kind of like you probably understand how to do independent music or whatever, but there was one point where you kind of knew what, it was like my label taking care
of everything. You was used to the label taking care of everything.
So, yeah.
And was you in that?
A lot of people were skeptical, but like I said, at one point you have to just take a chance.
Right.
And that's what basically, you know, is how you continue your career or whatever. Because at one point in time, you're going to get cut or fired or laid off, or we're going to go in a different direction. Mm-hmm. And it's all business. You get me? You can't look at shit personal. So you got to be ready for the next chapter. That's all. If you have the business mind and just a willingness and time, then, you know, just got to put forth that effort and take that plunge, you know, do that bungee jump, you know, just take that chance, and then that's how shit pay off for you, man.
This is my question to you, A. Do you have, like, do you actually have a favorite song that you recorded? Or
nah, I like everything I do, whether it's, you know, whether it's the more popular shit for the people or it's whether it's something personal, I just try to put pride in there, whatever I write, you know, because it's for the people and people spending their money or the time to listen to it. So I try not to deliver no bullshit, you know, so.
Right, gotcha.
Yeah, I think, man, going back to what you said earlier, I see this a lot, man, me being in management, certain guys that were used to being on labels and the label taking care of everything, like they like going on a press run and everything is already taken care of. They don't have to call nobody. They don't have to set nothing up. They like going to the studio. Everything is taken care of already. I think when you are already used to every opportunity I've ever got, I kind of had to, it was all through my own dime. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I've always betted on myself and been like, you know what, I'm gonna go do this. If it work, I'll reap the benefits. Right. If it don't work, back to the drawing board, go do something else. Man, I'm finally glad to get you on here, man. I'm glad we finally got you on here.
Yeah, man, anytime, though.
As you the homie, I said, man,
right here, man,
I got tired of people hitting me up, man. Can you set me up with Tyron? I said, man, I'm going to need to get him on my show, man. Y'all will have to wait now.
For sure.
That's y'all will have to wait, man.
Ain't your son rapping?
No, my son is in college right now playing football. Yeah.
What he playing? What position?
He's a quarterback, so. He's at home right now for spring break. I'm trying to get to the house right now.
Oh, yeah.
Quarterback, how tall is he, 8?
He's 6 feet.
And he got wheels, too.
Wheels?
Yeah. He's a real threat quarterback.
Wow.
So he's a 3-star. He's been playing this game since he was 5. So he's determined to make something out of it. But just the fact that he's able to go to college.
Yeah, that's
he's at a D1 FCS school, so he loves it. So it is what it is.
Dreams coming true.
Yeah, that's all we try to do. Make it better for the kids and get them a different position.
Right. So, how many kids you got, Tyron?
Just twins. I ain't
twins. Yeah. See, Tyron is a consummate bachelor, man.
Yeah, yay.
You ever see yourself getting married?
I don't don't want to get married.
All right, that's a whole nother interview, dog.
Yeah, that's another time. We're gonna say your love connection.
We'll shut this down. Show. Hey, I want to tell y'all before we get up out of here, we have a new YouTube channel, The Gangsta Chronicles. Go to the YouTube channel of The Gangsta Chronicles, man. Check us out, and we gone. Well, that concludes another episode of The Gangsta Chronicles podcast. Be sure to download the iHeart app and subscribe to The Gangsta Chronicles podcast. For Apple users, find a purple mic on the front of your screen, subscribe to the show, leave a comment and rating. Executive producers for the Gangsta Chronicles podcast are Norman Steele and Aaron MCA Tyler. Our visual media director is Brian Wyatt, and our audio editor is Taylor Hayes. The Gangsta Chronicles is a production of iHeartMedia Network and the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bizzle Fuma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait, did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.